Okay, a good Erev Shabbos, my friends. We are here with another fundamental parshas. Fundamentals in parsha, basically the point of what we do on Erev Shabbos here is to empower ourselves with Yediyas HaTorah that are not Divrei Torah that are being quoted by C.D. Stark, that's me, but really things that you can now know on your own. I can't emphasize this more, that the more you look at things inside, the more they become yours. I always, or I don't know always, but when I try to excel and make it further in life as a Ben Torah, I would try to locate the sources of my Rabbeim and learn them for myself, and then they're mine. They're not my Rabbeim's anymore. But a lot of times we just hear things as like a cliche-y. We hear C.D. Starr quoting a Rambam, and then it's not our Rambam. It's like we're not at home in the Rambam, or the Ramban, or whatever the case may be. So what we've been doing is we've been reading, learning together, Rishonim, that are very Yesodistic, and then they become yours. That's what we call a Kinyan in Torah. This week we are going to be delving into a very fundamental issue, perhaps the most fundamental issue, and a fascinating question, which is, why does the Torah not talk about Olam Haba? What? Does the Torah not talk about Olam Haba? It seems, from all the Rishonim, and everyone's grappling with this issue, that the most basic tenet of our faith, that this world is a prozdor, a hallway, right? To get, and whoever is making the on Erev Shabbos to get to Shabbos Kodesh Olam Haba, right? It's all about getting there. There is no explicit mention in the Torah of Olam Haba. And any thinking person has to be really bothered by this. What is going on? And if you think about it in other religions, the Kuzari makes mention of this, it's all about it. The Arabs spend their time talking about all these cool things, you know, that it's worth it to strap yourself up and blow yourself up for, right? And some of them even do that, right? Because there's like a big hype going on. And it's all, of course, in the Quran, right? It's not Torah Shebaal Peh. So how could it be in our Torah, there is no discussion explicitly of Olam Haba? This is a major question. So there are a few approaches over here. We're going to be focusing on the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. Again, when I say Rambam relaxed, it's Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. When I say Ramban, I put the ban in, it's Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, and never to be confused. Ramban, Rambam. And in general, you should do that, because sometimes people say Divrei Torah, and they go, the Ramban, you can't do that. Ramban, nobody's going to hear that it's the Ramban. To say the Ramban. It's a big problem. Big problem. We could change the world. Daniel, we could change the world. If people will be makabal on themselves to make it clear the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. Okay. So, the Ramban deals with this Shaila over here. It's all in Parshas Bichukosai. Why is it over here? Because this is the place of Brachos and Klalos, consequences. So, when you think of consequences, the biggest consequence should be to be out of Olam Haba. But it's all these terrible things that happen in Olam Hazeh, or good things that happen in Olam Hazeh, that are being focused on over here. So the Ramban says, "V'lo hiskir akasu b'kan schar kiyum anafashos ba'olam anashamos." This is the Ramban in Pasuk Yud Beis over here in Parshas Bechukosai. "V'ba'olam haba achrei tchias amazim ki kiyuman mechuyev b'derech yitzira." Fascinating. The Ramban says the following approach. This is his approach. His approach is the most natural thing in the world, in our religion, is that Yid has an neshama. Right? And by the way, it's a very good thing to be in touch with yourself. Being in touch with yourself is being in touch with your neshama. You have a neshama. I don't know if we always think about this. Sometimes we get a little too psychological, like, who's the real me? Like, that's all true, but you're a neshama. That's who the real you is. Getting in touch with yourself is getting in touch with your neshama. A neshama is sometimes uplifted Like when it's Shabbos, you feel like it's Shabbos sometimes. Sometimes as a joke, I try to pretend on Shabbos that it's a Tuesday to see if I could feel like it's a Tuesday. It doesn't work because it's Shabbos. It's like, it's Tuesday now. I want to like pretend. It can't because the neshama feels like it's Tuesday. It's not Tuesday. It's Shabbos, right? When you have a good davening. Why do you enjoy a davening? Davening's so boring. It's really boring, davening. Only a neshama could enjoy davening. There's no pshat. Who could enjoy a psukah d'zimra? Maybe some people here have never enjoyed a psukah d'zimra. But if somebody did, there's only one reason why. A neshama. No? So we have a neshama. And the neshama naturally, that's not a chiddush that the neshama lives forever. In fact, we can't even imagine ourselves not living forever. It's like in our consciousness, we would get a really big headache if we thought of ourselves ending at any point. The reason why we'd get such a big headache is because it's not natural. The real us, we even intuit, says the Ramban, that we just move on, we move forward. The biggest chiddush in the world, which the Torah brings in Torah Shebichsav, is that things happen in here, down in our world, that have to do with Torah mitzvos. The fact that we get an Olam Haba, that's something that we already would know, and Torah Shebaal Peh discusses it at length. But the Iker Chiddush that the Torah Shebichsav is saying is that even down here in this lowly world, mitzvos cause things to change. The produce to grow better, the families to expand, or chas v'shalom, the opposite from the consequences of that. So therefore, the Ramban writes, the Torah doesn't focus on such a thing. Ki kiyuman mechuyev b'derech yitzira, it's a natural understanding of how the neshama is something spiritual, and spirituality actually never ceases to exist. This is parenthetical, this is not the Ramban talking, this is Stark talking, but even the Greek philosophers believed that the seichel is something that just continues. It's something that, there are certain things about us, if we would think about our minds, the intellect, it's just an incredible thing that doesn't, if you would take the brain and put it on a table, I don't recommend doing that, but if you would do it, right, maybe somebody else's brain, right, you take it on the, and you think about what all your experiences are in this little silly parizach. It doesn't make any sense. It's a very spiritual thing. The brain, I once read an article, and this big Balgaiva said, it'll take us 100 years before we discover the brain, all the secrets of the brain. Shkayach, 100 years. It's impossible to discover any of the real secrets of the brain, because the brain is mechuber to the neshama. So he can keep trying, he can have a... you know why he said 100 years? Because he'll be dead then and no one can tell him he's wrong anyway. It's the best thing when you want to make a prediction, say 100 years, because you can't really lose. Unless it's earlier, then he's really in trouble. Like if it happens in 20 years, but if it happens in 500 years, he's already dead, he doesn't have to suffer the boosters of being wrong. Stam, it's good to predict things that no one can catch you on. 100 years from now. Very wise man. Right? So that's the approach of the Ramban. The Kuzari is from the earliest Rishonim that we have. 900 years ago, the Kuzari was on the scene. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, who came to this country, and we know his love of Tzion. He had a great love for Eretz Yisrael. The Kuzari actually says that... that the Torah only discusses things that you can see tangibly. It doesn't discuss things that you can just make up. Actually, the Torah will speak about that, watch your produce. It will either go up or go down. Watch the expansion of your family. Watch all these things. These are things that are tangible, that you can see with your own eyes. But for the Torah to just talk about things that you're never going to see, he says it's very easy to like make those things up. And Torah Shebichsav doesn't get into that because it's not something you can experience in your lifetime. The Torah is a book for your lifetime. It's not a book for the future. It's things that you should be able to decipher right now. Of course, it's hard for us. We don't understand why bad things happen or good things happen. But the model that the Torah is creating over here is very clear. It's a very clear one. So I want to now go into the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. And we're going to read this inside, and we're going to be kona for ourselves the Rambam's approach to how this all works, and it's going to be beautiful because it's going to be ours. Here we go. This is the ninth perek of Hilchos Tshuva. Does your start with Me'achar? Does your copy start with Me'achar? Me'achar shenod shematan schar and shel mitzvus va'tova shenitzchalem im shemenu derech Hashem akazim adoru chayol haba. Shenemer leman yitiv lecha v'arachti yamim. This is the unexplicit reference to Olam Haba. What does it say? You'll have Arichas Yamim, right? Arichas Yamim, not in this world, but Arichas Yamim in the next world. Again, not explicit. It doesn't say it Mufurish, but the Rambam says that's the drasha that Chazal make. So you have on the one hand what's called Arichas Yamim Tovim in Olam Haba. It's called you'll have Arichas Yamim. Right, this who made this big mistake not knowing about the secret that Arichas Yamim is in the next world and not in this world? There was, who's that? Esav. I'm looking for someone else also more recent in the Tanaim. There was a Tana who made, not Yashka, he wasn't a Tana, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, but he never was a Tana. Acher, thank you. Acher saw something absolutely horrifying. What did he see? He saw a man going up a tree to do Shiluach HaKan, which the Torah says you have Arichas Yamim for, and Kibud, it was Kibud Av also, and saw him die and fall off the tree. And that was one of the reasons. There's many discussions about Acher. Perhaps once we should give a two-hour, how's that sound? Two-hour analysis of the trials and tribulations, the ups and unfortunately downs of Acher. That would be interesting, right? Not really talked about. But one of the major things over here is Acher saw a person do two mitzvahs that the Torah says you get Arichas Yamim for. But like the Rambam says, not always is the Arichas Yamim here. It's talking about in the next world. Then the opposite of Arichas Yamim is something called Karis. What is Karis? What does the word literally mean, Karis? Cut off. So this is actually also a remez to Olam Haba. Because if you think about it, where are you getting cut off from? When it says, v'nichrasu ha-nefashos, that the nefashos will get cut off, where exactly is that from? So that's a reference to Olam Haba. Now I must tell you now, I'm chayev to tell you, that no Jew is ever cut off. I must tell you this, okay? And if you learn the Sifrei Mekubalim, and you learn Nefesh HaChayim, Shar Aleph, not Shar Dalet, Shar Aleph, where he gives you the whole lineup of what a neshama looks like. The lowest part, once a yid, chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, a yid is mechal Shabbos, which is a chi of karis. The bottom of his neshama, called the nefesh, gets a karis, but he still is attached by a spiritual wire to his higher neshama, his ruach, his neshama, his chaya, and his yechida. And a yid can always rebuild himself. A yid is never detached. As one of the Talmidim once said in the yeshiva, and it should be a schus for him, hope is a rope. Yaakov chevel nachlaso. Yaakov has a rope, meaning our hope is that we have a rope tying us to Hashem. And even when it looks like that rope was cut, only part of the rope was, and you can rebuild yourself at any time through tshuva. I don't want to get into this too much because it's off the topic. And it's not the Rambam school of thought because it's Kabbalah and the Rambam has no Mesorah in Kabbalah. So we're going to have to continue and we'll speak about it later. But a yid is never lost. So even though it says that there's kares, have in mind with tshuva, a person can rebuild anything. It doesn't matter if a person was over on Arayas. It doesn't matter if a person was chayv. I once went to my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, for an issue of someone who was over on severe amounts of Arayas and was living with terrible guilt, but had moved on. Severe Arayas. Severe. And my Rebbe, this is really interesting. I can't believe I'm telling you this, but it's interesting. This is what happens on Fridays sometimes. But I knew my Rebbe doesn't like when you show off or anything. What we call showing off is like different than him. I knew that I never told my Rebbe I was a mashgiach in a yeshiva. Because I knew he would ask me, why are you telling me this? So I never told him. But since I was going to go and ask him a question for somebody, you know, about feeling guilty, I knew I had to tell him I'm a mashgiach. But that was actually embarrassing for me. It was embarrassing for me to tell my Rebbe that I'm a mashgiach because I knew what he was going to do. So I said, Rebbe, I'm a mashgiach in yeshiva. He goes, nu. I'm like, okay, the bizayin's over. I'm like, I have a question for a bachar about such and such. All of a sudden, Rav Moshe Shapiro started melting in his chair. A yid is worried about averus. He goes, I'll tell you what to tell him. That's what happened. I'll tell you what to tell him. And he sat there with all the patience in the world. He asked somebody to get him the Pirush or Torah from Rav Isaac Chaver on the Milas HaTorah. And he pointed me to something that Torah is like a mikvah, a nachal, a mayan. It gets rid of all the averus. He says, tell this boy not to worry whatsoever. He's learning Torah. He's fine. Just move forward. And it was like an amazing moment for me with my Rebbe, because I saw that he's tough with me. But as soon as I told him that I'm coming for a yid who's bothered, he pushed it, melted in his chair. I never saw him do that before. Actually, one other time I did, but I'm not gonna talk about that one now. Okay, but a yid is never lost. So when you see the word kares, kares means technically if a yid doesn't chew tshuva, but a yid is always attached and he can always do tshuva for anything. So those are the Ramazim. So the Rambam says, Ma'uzesh shekazu b'chol haTorah kulim tishmi yagilachem v'imlo tishmi yikares eschem b'cholosin advarim ba'olam hazeh. Now let's talk about what the focus of Olam Hazeh was. In this week's parasha, right? B'chukosai. Sova v'rav. Being, what does sova mean, guys? Sova means being satiated. Rav is starvation. Milchama and shalom, war and peace. Malchus v'shiflus, when we have a kingdom versus when we're downtrodden people. These are all in this world, and that's the focus of the Torah. Yeshivas ha'aretz v'galus, living on the land and getting kicked out. Hatzlachas maisa, doing well in the stock market, right? Hedge funds. V'hefsedo, losing money in the stock market. V'shar kol divrei habris. All of these are part of the covenant. How do we understand this? We understand Olam Haba. The world is about getting to Olam Haba. But what is all the focus on Olam Hazeh? Says the Rambam, guys, look inside so it'll be yours. Chaim, you have one? You can sit next to Avi. Avi, there's room there for you. It'll be yours. Chaim, this will be your Rambam if you see it inside. It won't be mine. If that doesn't motivate you, Chaim, we'll write your name on the top of the Rambam. This is Chaim's Rambam. Ubizman. Okay, so Bizman Shana Osim Kol Mitzvah HaTorah. Yagio Aleinu Tovas HaOlam Hazeh Kulan. In this time where we do mitzvah HaTorah, we will get tovos from this world. Ubizman shanu ovrim aleim tikara sanu aros haksubas. We'll get, unfortunately, bad things if we don't. Va'afal pichin enosan haTovas sof matan schar and shul mitzvahs. No one should dare say that this is the schar that you get for a mitzvah, that you get a Lexus or a Tesla just because of the fact that you did mitzvahs. That's the schar. That's why we're working for Olam Haba. Chas v'shalom. Below us in our rows, ain't sof in a kama, shenog mi over kol mitzvahs. And don't think that evildoers are meted out just in this world. Elikachu hatzeya advarim. Here is how to know what's happening. So now the Rambam's going to tell us, Gedalia, the Rambam's going to tell us what life is about over here. Whoever is here will now know what life is about. Here we go. Life doesn't get better than this, my friends. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lanu Torah, zu Eitz Chaim. Hashem gave us the Torah, it's an Eitz Chaim. Mechol ha'osek kol ha'kosim bav yodeya deya gemura nechona zocha bal l'chaim olam haba. Whoever does what the Torah says and knows the Torah is zocha to chayi olam haba. The Rambam is very machmed over here. He doesn't just say to do the Torah, he says to know the Torah. If you just do something, Chaim, right? What part of your body does things? So, from here down, maybe your lips do things, but what about your brain? Your brain doesn't just do things. Your character, who you are, is your brain, right? That's where your neshama sits. If a yid doesn't have a brain that knows Torah, then what did he come here for? He has to do the mitzvahs and know the Torah. V'lefi godol maisav, depending on how great his actions were, v'godol chachmaso, and how much Torah he puts in his brain. Huzocha, that's how big his Olam Haba will be. So the Rambam splits up Olam Haba into two things. Actions and the mind. It's interesting. Why doesn't he just say that Talmud Torah is one of the mitzvos? No, it seems like there's two parts of a person. There's his world of thoughts, the world, the depth of his world. I just heard from Joseph. Joseph told me in Dvar Torah last night, and I was thinking last night, only somebody who's mamish using their neshama could say such a Dvar Torah. You can tell the guys later, it was a blow away. It was a blow away. The only answer that he came up with such a pshat was that he has a very big neshama. So that's the world of thoughts, my friends. The world of thoughts is like your neshama's expression aside from what you do. And then there's what you do. And both of those are two separate aspects of I'm worried, Joseph, it might be over people's heads. So pick people that you think will really understand what you said. Only those people. But it was amazing. So only a neshama could do this. Listen to this, guys. We don't need Rabbi. We love Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, but we don't need him. We have a Rambam. It says here, if you do the mitzvahs b'simcha, it says here to be b'simcha. It's Mefurish in a Rambam. Hundreds of years before, I have at least three major Rambams that talk about the importance of simcha, or four. This is one of them. If you do the mitzvahs b'simcha, b'tovas nefesh, v'naga b'chachmasa, tamid, v'nege, sorry, b'chachmasa, tamid. First of all, why do you need joy in mitzvos? Because joy shows that you're in it. We love doing things. We love eating. I love eating, right? Because I'm in it. I'm chewing, right? You chew on your food. You get into it. You attack your food. My Rebbe once said, lechem, bread, is milashon milchama. There's a war going on in your mouth. There's actually a war. It's a war of tastes and experiences, right? You chew on things. You get in them. When a person's happy and he has tovas nefesh, he feels it's geshmak to be a yid, he's a different type of person. It's a higher caliber person because it shows he's lofty. He's enjoying what he's doing. V'nege b'chachmasa, he works in the Torah. The Rambam says, Hashem wants a guy who's doing this to be unstoppable. Why does he want him to be unstoppable? Because he's on a roll. So what does he do? He doesn't want him to be sick. He goes chali umulchama. He doesn't want him to have war. He doesn't want him to have starvation. Incredible. The Rambam learns the whole purpose for what we're reading in Bechukosai is that people who are living life well. Again, there's a lot of mystery in life, and bad things happen to good people. But that's not what our topic right now. Our topic's why good things happen to good people and why bad things happen to bad people. There's another sugya called why bad things happen to good people and why good things happen to bad people. That's not our sugya. It's a different sugya, Chaim. Don't bring that up now. But good things happen to good people so that they'll be unstoppable. Because if a person's stuck in the entire morning seder with indigestion, he's going to miss. And he's that guy that loves Abaye and Rava. So then, if he's stuck there for a few weeks, so then he's not going to be able to learn Abaye and Rava. And Chas v'Shalom, worse types of things. If he doesn't know where his next meal is coming from, or if it's a time of war, where he's just basically trying to survive. But when a person's doing well, Hashem doesn't want him to be stoppable. V'yashpi alanu kol ha'tovos, Hashem's going to give us all the presents that will facilitate, allow us to be in it. You hear the Rambam's approach? The Rambam's answering a difficult question. Why does the Torah say about Olam Hazeh, makes it seem like this world's about Teslas and Ferraris, it's focusing produce, hedge funds. It's basically saying every time you read Kriya Shema, right? If I'm good, the hedge fund will go up. If it doesn't, go down. That's a very physical way of looking at the world. Why is the Torah doing that? The answer is, if you're a Yid who loves Hashem, who appreciates the Torah, who's ready to go, then Borei Olam will open the doors in the physical world so you could squeeze Olam Hazeh for all it's worth. Pack it in. Not have all these 6 days. Not be busy running around to find a meal, but mamish, be able to do as much as you can in this world. By the way, I've seen Nisim. Again, we're not talking about why bad things happen to good people. We're talking about why good things happen to good people. I've seen good people, have chasanas taken care of for them. Not just the biggest names in Klal Yisrael. That's not always the biggest raya. But people who mamish had millions of dollars raised for them while they were just sitting and learning. Literally millions of dollars. I've seen it. I once had the opportunity Friday. I once had the opportunity to take a Yushalmi who had nothing. And anonymously, it wasn't from me, I was a shliach, but I didn't want to even, he knew me, so I didn't want to even know who it was. I anonymously slipped into his door a $25,000 check. Now, what I only wanted to do was I planned that it should be the day that I see him later, so I could see how happy he looked. Because he's such a tzaddik, he was happy, but he was more talking about how we have to do for the Rabbanu Shalom and we can't stop. Like, that's the types of people that we're talking about over here. We're talking about people who, when they get money, they just talk more about Hashem. Like, okay, now that I have this amount of money, and then I heard him speak the next week at a shul, and he's talking about being mekabel yisurin on yourself. Like, that's why someone like that is just sits in his chair and people raise $25,000 for him, because he's on Hashem's team and he's unstoppable. The man is unstoppable. So Hashem doesn't want us to be stopped. V'yashbi alanu kol ha-tovos ha-machazin ha-din al-asikon ha-torah like sova, shalom, rabos kesef, zav, kidei shalo nasa kol yameinu b'dvarm shaguf sarglen. How chaval to lose your whole life to business. Of course, we have to make a living, but imagine someone who literally has no time, barely to daven, barely to learn. At the end of the day, it's so upsetting. Their minds could be expanded. They have that yeshiva das in wisdom. Velasos mitzvah. Notice how many times the Rambam is focused on two categories, the mind and the actions. It's clear in the Rambam, these are two separate parts of our life. Torah, Torah, Torah to fill our heads, and actions, actions, actions. Maase mitzvahs to live what we learn. Kidei sheniska l'chai olam haba. The whole purpose of getting schar in olam hazeh is that you get more olam haba. Because the more you have available time, my mashgiach, Rav Naftali Kaplan Shlita, he said, the world says that time is money. Time is money. Right, you've heard that expression, Gersh? Donald Trump? No, it's way before Donald Trump. Before you were born, I was hearing this, and right when Donald was starting to make his, you know, just get out of, just get up there first time when he just got Trump Towers. Time is money, right? My mashgiach said, no, money is time. What does that mean? When someone has money, they have more time for themselves. That's a gewaltige Sache. That's much better than time is money. Time is money means if life is for making money, then anytime I lose time, I can't make money. Money is time is if you give me $50,000, I can sit and use my time because now I have $50,000 that you gave me. So Burial will give you money and then you have more time. It's a beautiful lesson. Money is time. I never quoted that before. Sometimes this happens, like, especially on Fridays, because the stream of consciousness, Dafka, because I don't prepare, so a lot can come out. This is a very important one. Money is time. You can put, some guys have on their, in their dorm rooms, like posters. If you can make a poster, anyone want to make me a poster? Money is time. Hello? Okay. V'chein hu omer, b'torah, achar shiftiach b'tovas ol mazev, et stakat yelo v'gomer. Fine. If chas v'shalom gedalia, we leave the Torah midatenu intentionally, v'nasok behevle ezman, and we go chayim, we go to the havali havalim, we go to narishkeit chayim. Chayim, you seeing it inside the Rambam? There you go. It's a different Rambam, no Chayim? You're admitting it. Okay. Ke'inyan shenemer v'yishman yishur and v'yivat. Klal Yisrael got fat and they rebelled. What does it mean they got fat? They didn't just get physically fat. They had things provided for them and they ended up not capitalizing on their time. They used their free time for absolute hevel. Shedayana Emes, the Rabbonu Shalom was the Dayana Emes. Yasser mina ozvin kol tovas ha'olam hazeh. Shein chizku yideim livot. the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's a Dayan Emes, will remove all these tovas. Ah, you're not using, money is time, but you're not using your time. So I'm going to take away, Rachmano Litzlan Lo Aleinu, the money, because money is time. So you obviously don't need your time, so you don't need the money. Or other things, Rachmano Litzlan, Lo Aleinu. They were rebelling. Now they're going to be so preoccupied with Olam Hazeh, they're not going to be able to do mitzvos or have the peace of mind to learn. By the way, it's an amazing thing that's going on today. All the Kololite who officially don't have money, it's not really so true. There's something incredible going on. I once heard from Rav Yaakov Hillel, I used to be an avadah of his on Shabbos. He said, we don't chap the nisim that people who are learning in Kol are living with. He says the fact that not only is nobody starving, but they can buy bamba for their kids. You guys know what bamba is? Everybody who's in Eretz Yisrael knows what bamba is. He goes, the fact that someone who's not making a living, who's only learning Torah, can buy bamba for his kids is a nes. There used to be tkufas in Klal Yisrael where people were dying on the street from starvation. A person today, if he knows how to play his game right, at worst case scenario, will know where all the brisim are in Yerushalayim, and he can gain about 50 pounds a week from just playing the... I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying, do you know what it is to starve? In Yerushalayim, 100 years ago, people were starving on the streets. Nope, as far as I know... Again, there could be exceptions, but Rav Yaakov Hillel said people are buying bamba for their kids, and more than that. It's not nitvas. Of course, once chasen is hit, then things get interesting. But the fact that regular life, and even chasenas in this country, the fact that people could even bechlal consider marrying off their children with these numbers, is not a... The whole thing doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So you have to realize that we might think we're not living in these times where Hashem's doing good things for good people. He is. For thousands of people, He's doing good things for good people. Just because someone wears a suit that they bought 10 years ago doesn't mean they're not surrounded with getting pumped goodness. If they can learn through most of Shas, Bi'iyun, and the only thing that's wrong is they haven't gotten a new suit, that means they're living with Nisei Nisim. You have to think about these things. We have a very balabatish way of looking at things. Like, oh, if you can't go to Aspen, you know, for the break, so then you're a suffering Jew. No, a person can buy bamba for his kids, and I guarantee you he can also do other things. He maybe buys those sour sticks too, throws that in on Shabbos. I never liked those, but the kids like them. Bought those two. Nisim. This is Rav Yaakov Hillel who pointed this out. That was his lashon. They can even buy bamba for their kids. It made a very big impression on me. Because I always thought the opposite. I always thought to define poverty based on the simplicity of the lives. Absolutely not. People who have their basic needs provided for. Unbelievable. So this is happening today, my friends. And listen to this. So he prevents them from getting Olam Haba Kadei Sheyevdu Barisham, so that they'll basically have no ability to get with the Olam Haba. Who shekasa b'torah v'avadatah soyvecha she'olchen Hashem b'cha? Tachas! Asher lo avadatah Hashem l'olkecha b'simcha! Ooh, again. The Rambam again. Shimshon? Simcha. Again. B'tuv lev mirov kol. You have to be happy. A Yid has to be happy. From the Rambam. Mitzvah gedola lios b'simcha. It's mafurish in the Rambam. Nimsa perish kol osan habrachas v'aklolos. It comes out then that all the brachas and all the klolos al derech zu are really about Olam Haba. Why, Shlomo? Why are they about Olam Haba? Even though they're about Olam Hazeh, but you'll get a bigger, your stock will go up so that you'll be calmer and then your morning seder will be more with a relaxed frame of mind. So the Olam Hazeh, the stocks going up that you read about or the stocks going down are because of your monitor of how much you're chasing Olam Haba. If you're chasing Olam Haba more, so then the regular Darkei Hashgacha, again, there are mysteries that we can't answer. We're surrounded by mysteries, but we still have to learn the regular rules. The regular rules are if you're dedicated and showing your interest, then what should be is that Hashem should open more doors for you in the physical world so that you'll have a certain calm, a certain peace of mind. Perhaps you'll have a wife that doesn't drive you crazy, which is a big chiddush, right? Imagine that, a husband who's able, I was zocher to that, so I thought maybe the reason is because since I'm a mashgiach, I have to listen to people's problems. What would be if I would come home at night, right? Rabbi Glazer is the only one married here, so he understands what I'm talking about. What if I came home and I needed 4 more hours to be the mashgiach for my wife? Oh, sorry. You're new at this. You guys are new. You don't know what you're in for yet. You're like, in honeymoon land. I don't know. You don't count. But imagine somebody who's... So it could be there's a cheshbon, again, with Rachmei Shamayim. But maybe if somebody's listening to someone else's saras, I heard from a big mashgiach that he believes that he had less saras than other people with his children, because he took on so many tsaras of his Talmidim. Incredible. But think about the math over here. It's the Rambam's math. That when somebody, again, there are so many exceptions to these rules. Let's not get caught up in that. Let's try to learn what the psukim are saying. But in a perfect world, and Hashem's Hanhaga should be and could be, that when somebody shows that they're interested in helping others, so then Hashem will make a cheshbon, so let me just like push aside his own tzaras so that he could really be able to connect with others. Because it's hard to juggle everything, or the financial pressures, or all these things. Nimsa perish kolos and abrachs v'kolos al derech zu kolomari mavaditzes Hashem b'simcha, another time simcha. If you serve Hashem b'simcha, b'shamartim darchum mashpia lechem abrachos elu marchik ha-klalos achtu pnuyim lischakim ba-Torah, again, to become wise in Torah, Shlomo, v'lasot bo, k'day shetizku l'chayom haba v'yitim l'cha l'olam shekulo tov, v'tarach yamim l'olam shekulo arach, to get the real arichos yamim tovim, v'nimseisam zochem l'shnei olamos, inadvertently you get two worlds. You get this world, not because this world's important, but this world's important because if you have things to do, you can't be stopped. You need to be unstoppable. So you get this world, so you get what you need, what will keep you going, and you get next world. L'chaim tovim b'olam hazeh, mavim l'chaim abba. This world that gets you the next. Shim lo yikna, yinei chachma v'maisim tovim in lo mayiska. If a guy comes up to olam haba without wisdom and without actions, what did he do already? There's no way to get things after this world. This world is 120 years. Whatever you get here is what you have, Chaim. And whatever you don't have, you don't have. So that's why we need to be able to be as free as possible. If somebody just chills too much and just fresses all day, Viznus, Vidomalem, and goes with the Medalach, Rachman al-Itzlan. Mevi Aleichen, Kola Klolus Ha'elu, all of these bad things will befall them. Lo Aleinu, Rachman al-Itzlan. Umeser Kola Brachos, Hashem says, this guy's not my, he's a chiller. He just wants to be with the Medalach. So what do I have to be busy investing in this guy, Rachman al-Itzlan? By the way, young people are probably allowed to make more mistakes because, like anything, Hashem's patient with people. Shouldn't think Hashem like takes a 13-year-old and already starts. Hashem gives us time. Each person will feed their level of das where they are in life to get there. Hashem has patience. It's called Erech HaPayim. Let's not forget. But a person who just doesn't get the message, he'll start being nervous psychologically and in a state of fear. Incredible. Fear is the biggest thing that ruins thinking clearly. A sense of fear, a sense of, like, unease, right? It's scary. His head won't be available. He won't have the headspace to learn Torah. We know those days where we get in a fight with someone or we have a challenge with a parent or a sibling. It's like the morning Seder feels like, get me out of here. You ever have that? I have that sometimes. It's like, you feel so, like, I just want to get through this and, like, I can't wait till the buzzer to get out. If a person has so much of that, that could be their whole life. But if a person zocha, then those things can go away and they can just feel relaxed and enjoy. Such a bracha. So many of us are carrying such heavy things. And Bezus Hashem, Hashem sees that we're investing and everyone should be zocha that it should go away. again, we need emuna when it doesn't go away, but we could anticipate to daven and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I didn't even listen to start reading the Rambam. I read it myself. You could put that in your davening today. Say, Rabbeinu Shalom, if Stark said it, fine, but I read it. It's my own Rambam. You could send up the Rambam to Hashem. Say, I wasn't relaxed today, and it's not good. And you said that this is something that I need to be relaxed. So, Bari Eilam, please, be Mekayim the Divrei HaRambam. It's in Perek Tes, if you want to look it up, right? Bari Eilam doesn't need to look it up. Leipane velo guf shalim, if he doesn't have a guf shalim, a healthy body, how could he do mitzvahs? Lots of mitzvahs. Kedeshin tevdu mechayel amaba. V'nimsa sh'avadatim shnei olamas. This person lost two worlds. Shebizman shadim tarid bolam hazeh. A person's worried and fartracht. In olam hazeh, b'choli, sickness, milchama, war, ravon, starvation. Eno misasek, lo b'chachma, v'lo b'mitzvah. Shebein zochin lechayel olam haba. With these, he zochin lechayel olam haba. We are done for today. I'm trying to be very machbid for the meat of MS, and I find sometimes when I tell a story, by accident in the middle, I say something that's not exactly accurate. The story where slipping the check under the door, the $25,000, I'm remembering now that I sent a shliach right before the vod that I went to bring actual money there, and then I went. It was not that I slipped a check. I'm trying to be more careful that every story should be as accurate as possible.